Welcome to the 416th episode of Travel Itch Radio. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my friend and co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee. And this is the 10th season of Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel from the comfort of your armchair.
Every week at this time, we talk to people representing destinations, hotels, airlines, railroads, car rental companies, and others in the world of travel and hospitality, from authors and bloggers to broadcasters and publicists. If it's got anything to do with travel, it's got everything to do with Travel Itch Radio.
And our honored guests tonight are Larry Cancro and Beth Krutis of the Boston Red Sox, and our subject is the Fenway Park Concert Series. Welcome, Larry, and welcome, Beth.
Thank you for having us, and what a nice way to start with, I believe, Ricky Nelson.
Yeah,
that's
thank
right.
you so much for having us. We've been really excited to talk to you guys.
Well, Larry, tonight is a music night, and you and I remember when that song was brand new.
I do. Okay, you dated us.
Anyway, although I'm a diehard baseball fan, Beth, I had no idea that Fenway Park has hosted big-name concerts since 2003. Is it true you've had more than 80 of them?
Close, Dan. At the end of this 2021 concert season, we will have had 86 concerts at Fenway Park since 2003.
Wow. That's a good number. Who are some of the performers you've had?
We started in 2003 with Bruce Springsteen. He had two shows at Fenway. And since then, just to name a few, we've had the Rolling Stones, Paul McCartney, Lady Gaga was our first female headliner. We've had Jay-Z, The Who, Jimmy Buffett, Jason Aldean. He was our first country show. Tom Petty, Foo Fighters, Pearl Jam, James Taylor. The list goes on and on. We've had some just incredible acts at Fenway.
When we had lunch last week, you mentioned, Larry, that you've actually become friends with some of these musical legends. I know what that's like with baseball players, but how does that make you feel personally? Larry, I'd like to hear from both of you, so why don't we ask Beth first that question.
Dan, it's definitely one of the highlights of what we do. I think Larry would agree. Over the years, we really tried hard to stay in touch with as many of the acts who've played at Fenway as possible, and some of them have actually become really good friends of ours. There's one musician in particular. He's played at Fenway a few times, and every single time he comes to Boston, we go to lunch, he comes to games, he loves hanging out in our office, and he actually lives out on the West Coast, so throughout this pandemic in this last year, there was a group text going on between me and him and Larry, and we would text, especially during Red Sox games, and it was mostly about baseball and music, but we also talked about current events and what was happening in our lives, so it's pretty cool, and, you know, we stay in touch with these performers, and sometimes they come to Red Sox games, or, you know, if they're coming through on a different tour, they'll invite us to the shows, and for me, it's definitely been one of the most fun parts of what we do.
Yeah, it's been very special, and you know, you'd be surprised how many of the musicians are huge baseball fans. And when we won in 2004, in less than 10 seconds, my phone rang, and it was Jimmy Buffett congratulating me, and I got one of the nicest notes you could imagine from Phil Lesh, who's a big Yankees fan. But, you know, they were kind enough to reach out and congratulate me on the Red Sox victory. And it's kind of special when people like that think of you at a moment like that.
Mm-hmm. How does a singer or group get booked for Fenway Park, Larry? Does an agent contact you or do you go to them?
Well, initially, almost all the acts came exclusively through Live Nation. We've partnered with Live Nation New England on all of our almost all of our shows, and we work very well together with them. But we've also established a rapport with many agents and managers, etc. So sometimes we get a call, but the actual booking is done by Live Nation New England. But sometimes a discussion will come up with somebody. In fact, even the original first show we did, I happened to be in a suite, and one of the people in the suite was somebody who worked with Bruce Springsteen, and he actually said to me, "Do you think you could do concerts here?" And I said, "We're trying to do concerts here." And that's how that first discussion started. So next thing you know, we brought in the Live Nation folks, and we had Bruce Springsteen. But so we have almost a seamless relationship, and so sometimes it comes through the promoter, sometimes it comes through the venue side, but it's all about relationships, and we work very well together.
I can tell that you do. We're talking Fenway Park concerts with Larry Cancrow and Beth Krutis. Now, when the Sox are away, the stadium still swings. You've got a great lineup for this year's concert series, especially in August. Could you share that with us?
Sure. August of this year, we have 5 shows in 7 days, and Larry and I were talking about it earlier, and we think it might actually be the biggest concert week in Boston history. That week, we start with Guns N' Roses, and the next night, we have Billy Joel. He'll play his 7th consecutive show. Obviously, he didn't play this past year, but we still consider it his 7th consecutive show. We have Green Day, New Kids on the Block with Belle Biv DeVoe, so we're expecting a major hometown crowd for that one. And then Zac Brown Band will be playing their 12th show at Fenway. So that starts August 3rd and ends on August 8th. So that's going to be a really busy week for us, but a really fun one, too. And then in September, we have Maroon 5 and Jonas Brothers will be playing in October, and all of them are bringing some really great acts with them.
Mm. Larry, when the Fenway Park concert series started, you seemed to have stars doing multiple concerts over a series of 2 or 3 days. I know Springsteen did that, and Jimmy Buffett and the Rolling Stones did that. Why did that change?
Well, what happened was when we initially started, we really didn't know much about the music business or the concert business, and neither did the city or the neighborhood. And we were wondering what was our ability to execute this. So we all agreed to try to start with one act over 2 days and see how well it went. And it was experimental at first. But what we found was that there were a lot of positives. First of all, the ball club does make money. Of course, the acts make money. But also we found that there was residual benefit to the neighborhood, restaurants, bars, hotels. And, in fact, I've heard from restaurateurs as far away as the North End that they know when there's a Fenway concert because they have more profitable nights in the North End even. So we found that it's a boon to the local economy a bit. And but what also we became more adept at being able to build the stage, which takes a lot of work. It's a lot of weight. It can harm the grass if you don't do it right. But we found better methods to do it, better methods to get the stage out. And the better we got at it, the more we found we could do more shows. And it slowly grew. And we were able to mitigate the issues that it causes for the neighborhood, and we grew from 2, I think, to 4 to 6, and we've had permission for as many as 13, but I think the most we've ever done is 11.
Mm.
Wow. A couple of obvious questions. First, Beth, what are the acoustics like in Fenway Park?
Well, we like to think that they're really good, but we've actually gotten some nice compliments from some musicians who are experts in that field, one of whom is James Taylor. So we've heard a lot of great feedback from people, and his was some of the best.
Mm.
Okay, and Larry, since this is an open-air concert, what happens if it rains?
Well, concerts are always rain or shine. You know, many concert venues are open air. But there are certain weather conditions, such as electrical storms, tornadoes, high wind conditions, et cetera, that would cause a cancellation or a postponement. And, you know, we go over all those conditions before the shows start, and our safety team is well aware of all that. But for the most part, in the public's mind, it's rain or shine.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned that the Fenway Park Concert Series has a huge impact on area businesses, from the restaurants and, I'm assuming, to hotels and transportation companies. Could you talk about that a little more?
Well, sure. We've had so many anecdotal stories from people about how impactful it is. I mean, it's a little different than a baseball game. Baseball games at Fenway, 63% of the crowd comes as a function of a family outing, mom, dad, the two kids. Even if they're coming on corporate tickets, it's often a function, you know, a family function. But when it's a concert, it's generally a date night kind of thing. It could be two couples, whatever, but it's an adult kind of outing. And as a result, people are going to hotels and staying overnight. People are going to restaurants for a nice dinner before the event, et cetera, or after the event. People are going to bars for a drink before or after. And so what we're hearing is the bar and restaurant people tell us their biggest nights of the year are always when we have concerts. One bartender told us at a community meeting she made enough in tips one weekend of concerts to pay for her next semester's tuition.
Wow.
Yeah, as a graduate student. And so it brings in a lot of money. It helps a lot of people that work in, you know, what we call gig economies, people that work at the hotel, but then on the weekend they work in a bar, this sort of thing. And but over 10% of the Massachusetts population makes their living that way. So, you know, it's very important to these people.
Mm-hmm. Never thought about that. We're talking Fenway Park Concerts with Larry Cancro and Beth Crudis.
Guys, there are three hotels within walking distance of Fenway. One is the Hotel Commonwealth on Commonwealth Ave, which is a couple of blocks away, and the other is the Residence Inn by Marriott Back Bay Fenway. I've stayed in both. They're terrific properties. And we also have the Verb on Boylston Street. Larry, do these three hotels get business from your concerts that they wouldn't normally get?
Well, yes. I have one story that's kind of interesting. We were changing over between one act to another act, and I stay in the Residence Inn when we're doing our shows. And one morning I went down to breakfast, and I heard the person at the desk, working the desk, saying, "We have 173 checkouts this morning." Well, there were only 174 rooms, and I wasn't checking out. So everybody in the hotel was checking out except me, and they were booked fully for the next night. So the entire James Taylor crowd who had played the night before was checking out, and now whoever was playing that night, their crowd was checking in. But they were sold out both nights.
Wow.
And so it definitely has an impact. It does. And, one of those three hotels, the general manager recently said when we announced our concert schedule recently, he brought back his entire staff. Yes, it has a major impact on not only the hotels, but the people that work in them. And in fact, you know, it's really a difference maker for all of these businesses.
Hmm. A report from the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau says the overall economic impact per concert was more than $9 million in 2018. Do you expect something similar this summer, Larry?
Yeah, I really do. You know, I think most of our shows will attract large crowds. I think those crowds are eager to get back to, you know, normal life after the pandemic. I think they'll come. They're going to want to go to dinner. They're going to want to stay in the hotels. And, you know, Beth and I worked, and the rest of our staff worked diligently to make sure that we had these shows, because we knew that this would be part of what would help revitalize some of the local businesses and get things going back in our neighborhood. I mean, there are a number of businesses, particularly restaurants, that closed. And, you know, the ones that survived, we want to see them get back on their feet. We want to see those employees be able to pay their bills, et cetera. So while it's great for the Red Sox, we know there's a trickle-down effect to many others, and we're really happy that we can be in a position to bring in this business that that's kind of a jump start.
We're happy too. Beth, is it true that you sold concert tickets in every one of the 50 states plus D.C., Puerto Rico, and 10 Canadian provinces?
Yes, we found that fans are definitely willing to travel to see a concert at Fenway. In fact, during the past few months, I've spoken with fans from all over, from California, Missouri, Texas, Florida. They're all coming to Fenway this summer specifically for concerts. A few people even told me that even though they could see a concert closer to where they live, they want to experience going to a concert at Fenway. So it's always nice to hear that. And a lot of people make a weekend or even a vacation out of it. So they come for the concert, but then they stay for a few extra days or even a week to spend more time and explore Boston. So as Larry was just saying, people come for the concert, but then the city does really well because they've got people staying multiple nights at hotels, trying all of these different places for dinner, you know, tourist attractions. So, and it's great. It gives people from all over the world a chance to come, and we get to showcase Boston to everybody.
And that CVB report showed New York as the biggest out-of-town market for Fenway Park concerts, Larry. Does that mean it's okay for Billy Joel to sing A New York State of Mind at Fenway Park?
I don't know if that's what makes it okay, but it's okay. He's done it. And we expect
him to
do it
again.
Okay, and
I want to tell our listeners that it's okay to listen to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee. We're on iTunes, blogtalkradio.com, and Facebook. Check out the archive show at your convenience. And we're talking Fenway Park concerts with Larry Cancro and Beth Crudas. Larry, what is the actual capacity of Fenway Park? And do the concerts always sell out?
Well, first of all, the capacity varies. It's not like a ball game. Each concert has its own configuration. So when Roger Waters did The Wall at Fenway, The Wall was huge, and it took away some of the seating. And his configuration was 27,000. But we've had some configurations where we've been over 36,000. There's no standing room for concerts. So, it ranges. I would say the average ranges from 33,000 to 36,000, depending on whether people use a thrust, whether they have wings on their stage, et cetera, et cetera. But it's in the mid-30s, and it has a great feel. I think the thing that's great about it is, and the first one to mention this was Jimmy Buffett, but we hear it over and over from all the artists. From the stage, you can see every face in the crowd. It's not like looking down a rectangle. It's almost like being in a regular theater or an amphitheater, because from the stage it goes out at an angle and straight back, and so you can literally see every face, and it has a great vibe. And I know you were specifically asking about capacity, but it's not just the capacity; it's where the capacity feels. You can see people reacting to the show. You can feel the show from the stage. It's a great place to see a show.
And are all the concession stands open, Beth?
Yes. So concession stands are open during concerts, and we actually even put a few concession stands on the field because during a concert we have seats on the field, and there's a lot of the fan favorites are available, so items that you would be able to get during a Red Sox game you can also get during a concert. So fans who might not have experienced a baseball game at Fenway, they can still say they had a Fenway Frank at Fenway Park. It's just during a concert instead of a game.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of concessions, Larry, are there new concession stands that sell concert souvenirs?
Well, what we do is we convert the souvenir stands that normally sell baseball souvenirs to concert merch. The concert merchandise business is a big part of the concert business. So, we convert our normal stands, and then sometimes we add some in a couple of locations. In recent years, we haven't done it as much, but we sometimes put them out on the field also. But we sell a significant amount of concert merchandise, and when I say we, the bands really sell it. And and it's kind of great. One of the things I like about it is I could be walking somewhere, you know, in the metropolitan area, and I see a T-shirt that says such and such a band from 2007 Fenway Park, and it just gives me a kick, you know, to see it.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, here's a question I've been dying to ask all night. Is it true that Paul McCartney said Fenway is his favorite place to play and the best place he's ever given a concert?
The answer is yes. We've been told that by multiple people. He didn't say it to us. He said it to people we know that work with him, and we were told that he said it's his favorite place to play.
Uh-huh.
And he's not the only one. For instance, Zac Brown said on stage and in print that Fenway is his favorite place he's ever been of any show they've ever played, and. And there's others that have commented, too. We're very proud of the way some of the artists have reacted to Fenway.
You know, speaking about Paul McCartney, Larry, you've got to tell the story about what happened when he was fogged in at Teterboro Airport.
Well, yeah. One time we get this call, and it seemed, you know, we had a Paul McCartney show, and we get this call that he was fogged in Teterboro, and we needed to quote stall. So, and we had a process that we went through because he did a sound check party before the gates opened for a certain group of people, and they wanted everything to go off in order, but later. So people were getting a little antsy outside the ballpark and whatnot, but we kept stalling according to instructions. And he came in. He did the sound check party, maybe somewhat shortened, and then we immediately let the crowd in. And boy, did they pour in, because there were plenty of them out there, and. And the show went off on time. But it was, let me tell you, the staff was sweating it. We were really worried he wasn't going to make it.
No wonder he loved you.
Well, you could sell a few more hot dogs in the meantime while they're waiting. What about the New Kids on the Block concert that there was an impending electrical storm and you had to tell the crowd? What happened there?
Well, that was the night of my lowest low and my highest high. I had to go out on stage and tell the crowd that we had to evacuate the ballpark and everybody had to go undercover. And that was in the middle of one of the opening acts performance. And I got roundly booed. I mean, really booed. And, and then when I was walking around the ballpark, I got people kind of yelling at me or giving me dirty looks or what have you. But then it cleared up as I told them it would, and I got to announce that we're, you know, cleaning up the stage, and the new kids would be out, and I got the greatest cheer of my life, pretty much the only cheer of my life, but it was a resounding cheer. And as I walked around the ballpark after that, I had people, you know, throwing their arms around me and telling me I did a great job with the storm. So it was really kind of a roller coaster ride for me that day. And, of course, my wife brought me back down to earth. She didn't even recognize my voice from the announcement. So anyway, there you go.
Okay, we're talking Fenway Park Concerts with Larry Cancrow and Beth Grutas. Mary Ellen?
Besides Paul McCartney, tell us how some of the other stars reacted to Fenway as a concert venue.
Well, the two that come to mind for me is Bruce Springsteen described Fenway as the place where you could feel the soul of this city. I thought that was really a great description.
Yeah.
The other one that came to mind for me was Tom Petty. Tom didn't appear to me to be a huge baseball fan, but he wanted to see the ballpark. He wanted to get a feel of the ballpark, and they were doing a documentary film of this particular concert. Well, unbeknownst to Tom at this moment that he asked for this tour, the guy that ran the Fenway Park mechanical scoreboard for 25 years was a Tom Petty fan, like beyond a Tom Petty fan. So inside the Green Monster there, famous ball players for, you know, I don't know how many years, 70 years or more, have been signing inside the wall, players, notable figures, et cetera. But this guy is such a big fan that ran our scoreboard there. He stenciled Tom Petty quotes inside. So when you go inside, the first thing you see is "The waiting is the hardest part, Tom Petty." And then in the second bay, there's another quote. So Tom opens the door, he walks in, and the first thing he sees is a Tom Petty quote, and his face was priceless. And all of this is in this documentary. I think it was a Showtime documentary. And he fell in love with the place. And in this documentary, he talks about how you can tell that this is one of the most special places on earth. And he was fantastic, and he loved it, and the show was great. And if you listen to his Sirius channel, every now and then there's songs from his show that night, and that's one of the times I'll never forget.
Okay, just 2 minutes left. I want to ask Beth, how far in advance should potential concert goers book their tickets? Are any of your concerts sold out yet, and are you already selling tickets for 2022?
Well, in a non-pandemic year, concerts at Fenway sell out very, very quickly. This year, we still have some tickets available for the shows, but as the weather warms up and people start venturing out more, they're going to start disappearing quickly. So if anybody's interested, the website that they can go to is redsox.com/concerts. All of our shows are listed there. You can find information. And then tickets for any of the shows that were postponed to 2022, those tickets are still on sale.
Okay, thank you to Larry Cancrow and Beth Grutas of the Boston Red Sox for being our guests tonight on Travel Itch Radio. This was fun.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate
and
you having us. It was a lot of fun.
This edition of Travel Itch Radio next week, same time, same station, same writer, same announcers. We'll head down to Tampa Bay and talk about sea salt properties. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with my beautiful and talented co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.